Isa, Deacon Zeacon, Jeff Rosignol. It's a fine blend of discipleship and entertainment. Truth is here.
Here we go. We're going to really get right into this. There's a lot of stuff here, and I got this nice, happy little PowerPoint up here that, folks, the nice thing about Facebook is you can stay connected to lots of folks. So anyway, so someone put this slide up here, and I thought it was on Facebook, this particular slide, and I think it's a perfect example of where lost people are at. You don't know what's up, what's down, what's right, what's wrong from this. It is so messed up. So I thought this would be a good time to put the scripture over this, clear it up, and then get right into it. See, the reality is we are to serve Jesus wherever we are. I'm going to hammer this a lot today, the five disciplines. Because the five disciplines, pretty much, if we're not doing these, we're not following Jesus. Don't kid yourself. You can say you're a Christian, but if you can't tell me in one simple sentence or two what your plan is, what your action plan is for evangelism, your discipleship, your ministry, your fellowship and your worship, you're not serving God, period. Now, the question you want to ask yourself is, where's the gumption? If this ain't happening, where's the gumption? Why don't you have it? Be afraid. You should be compelled of Christ to get this. It should compel you. You should be aggravated over the fact that none of us are doing this as good as we would like. And I'm the first to admit it. And it aggravates me a lot for my own sake, because I do love God. I want to serve Him. I want my life daily to be an expression of Him, of His love for me. And it's hard. It is hard. So let's pray. I'll get out of the way, and we're going to go deep into the Word of God where it's safe. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, get me out of the way, that we would rock into your truths, that you would change us to be obedient servants who care about the lost and love them enough, Jesus, to tell them where it's at, even if they accuse us of being intolerant and closed-minded or whatever. So thank you, Jesus, for may you be glorified. Amen. So here's the slide. This came up about a week ago, and my reaction, of course, one hit was confusion. I'm like, obviously there's something wrong with that, but how could I unpack it? How could I communicate back to the person who put this up there? So what I want to do is, we're going to put some scripture over this, and clear it up, and I want to point out some of the things. We're dealing with a postmodern world. But obviously, what we have here is a clear image of a total muddied of the water, mishmash, what's wrong, what's right, what's bad, what's good. How do you unpack this? But clearly, there's no moral compass here. Or there's no legitimate biblical moral compass, I could say. There's a moral compass here, and it's in red. And I'll get to that. It's the wrong moral compass, but there's a moral compass there. The waters are muddied. Acts that God clearly command as evil is held in the same light as things that are blessings. The only virtue here is messed up. What's good is bad. What's bad is good. And the morality compass is broken. What seems virtuous in this overall perspective is horrifically, demonically evil. And the ironic part, again, is this red thing. These red lines. This is the trick. First, they muddied the water. So let's unpack this. Let's just go right into the scriptures. First, sin is the great equalizer. Sin is the great equalizer. Gossip is on the same level as evil as homosexuality, as greed, as arrogance, as boastfulness, as insolence, as slanderers. All evil is evil. All evil is evil. And it all is worthy of hell. It doesn't matter if you lied, if you're disobedient to your parents, or, you know, you struggle with one of these big ones. And some of you might say, oh, which ones is he going to pick on? It's all evil. So let's see, what does this Bible say about some of this? Let's unpack this right at the top. Right at the top it says, if you don't like gay marriage, don't get one. Okay, let's look at Romans chapter 1. And actually, you're going to find Romans chapter 1, 25 through 30, hits them all. Not just the top one. We're not picking on just one particular sin. We're going to hit all the sins. It says in Romans 1, 25 through 30, says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Now, if I stop right there, what does God think of that particular act of homosexuality? He doesn't like it. It's a sin. But in the same breath, God goes on to say that they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity, and that's just talking about people who reject the Lord. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. That seems a bit harsh to put in there with homosexuality, God-haters, and arrogance, and gossips. That's all there. All the sins are there. So we got to be careful to say, now, we don't want to support, you know, you can't support sin. You just can't support sin no matter how it pops up or no matter how politically correct it comes. You can't support it because it's sin. You can't say because someone wants to make it a law, okay, it's sin. So we got to learn to distinguish between, yeah, so what if someone made it a law? God says it's a sin. If God said disobeying your parents was a right protected law, it's still sin. Wait a minute, did I say that right? If the government says that it's a protected law, it's still a sin. Do you understand? It's sin. God says it's sin, it's still sin. And so is gossip. Gossip the Lord held gossip up in the same equivalence as homosexuality as an evil. It's all evil. It's all bad. And how many of us struggle with these? Slanders, God-haters, insolent. How many times do we practice hating God when we decide, you know, God, I know you say to do this, but nah. Aren't we hating God when we be disobedient to him? And then it finally says they are senseless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. There it is. This is such a big pile of demonic goo of a lost person's heart. Let's go pick on what's wrong with the porn industry. Oh, let me see. Jesus happened to mention in Matthew 5, 27 and 28. You have heard that it says do not commit adultery. Well, okay. Now Jesus raises the bar. But I tell you, if anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Whoops! That's every guy on the planet. Now every guy is guilty of adultery. So now we've got some bigger problems here. Of course, everyone broke the Ten Commandments already. But this one's a sin. Wait a minute. I brought my laser pointer today. No, that's my chapstick. Wait a minute. Laser pointer. Here we go. There we go. This one, God clearly says is sin. This one, God clearly says is sin. Do not murder. Bam. Right there. And, whoa, wait a minute. What about this one? Who put that in there? Newsflash. God invented sex. It's supposed to feel good. It's supposed to be awesome. And it's supposed to be between a man and a woman in marriage. Right there. God made that, not the devil. Now, what about this one? Well, obviously, not only is it breaking the law, but usually in the Old Testament, drugs are also connected with witchcraft and alchemy. So if you want to get a good spiritual thing, take a couple mind-altering drugs and you're tripping with a spirit. Unfortunately, it's not the Holy Spirit who says don't be filled, don't be drunk, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, some of these other ones, some may disagree with, but there is no mandate from the scripture about cigarettes. There is no mandate from the scripture about alcohol, and there's certainly no mandate about guns. Good luck trying to find it in the scripture. You can find that God warns us about alcohol, that if you drink a lot of it, you're going to be whacked and do stupid things. God doesn't say anything about this that I'm aware of at the moment that I can think of. All right? So you got to unpack. And God doesn't say anything about this either. So you got to be careful what you decide to make God's law and what is man's law when God very clearly says, don't murder, don't whack yourself out, don't commit adultery, and don't do any weird, strange things that are clearly unnatural. How's that for ambiguous? So they're all there. You know what I'm saying? So the problem is this person doesn't know the Lord, so this person doesn't care what the Lord says, nor understand what God requires in his law.
Let's stop here for today. That's some deep stuff. Don't forget to subscribe at iTunes and please post a review. Stay tuned for the rest of the message tomorrow. Truth is here.